Well, we are here and we're here to talk about this huge topic of digital ID, which is going to turn into a $133 billion business decision that executives cannot ignore. And yeah, I mean, at the moment, if you're not in the UK, you probably don't know. Well, you may know actually what's been happening. If you check out the news, we've got all sorts of issues with digital ID. Millions and millions of people who are complaining that they don't actually want it, and it seems that it's being forced through anyway, which is a awful situation, if I'm brutally honest. But where I am here in Croatia, we are halfway to a digital ID, really. I mean, I've got an ID card. I have to use it. I use it with banks. I use it with telecom providers. I use it with basically pretty much any business that or healthcare organizations that I need to confirm my identity to. So there's swings and roundabouts on this, Steve. It's a massive topic, and I know we could talk for ages, but we're just going to literally just introduce it now. What's your view on it? Is it dystopian or is it okay?
Yes and yes. Let me two comments. Digital ID is an old idea. It's been around a long, long, long time. 20 years ago, I was part of something, and I had an associate that was creating digital ID for major retailers. Specifically, you know, you buy something using a credit card, you buy the large screen TV at the time, $5,000, $7,000, the washing machines, whatever the heck it was. And the credit card clears, all of that. The address clears, an address check. And then they're about to put the $7,000 thing on a truck and send it to your house. What this particular situation created was a database, which before that thing got on the truck, quite literally, they would bounce that buyer, the credit card location, against a database. The database instantly at the time was about 50 cents an inquiry, would bring up absolute financial history on anything that existed on that name and what was thought to be immediate relatives. That's by marriage, children, familiar. You, your wife, your kids, brother, sisters, mom, dad, and Uncle Jasper, who's mom's brother. And what would happen is they would flag historical data that created on these for the retailers specifically. Bob Johnson seems okay, but both his dad and his uncle have defaulted on bank loan 7 years ago. And currently another close relative is delinquent in paying a credit card bill. They would flag the shipment because it was a red flag on the overall, what I call the social score of that buyer. So this goes back a long, long, long time. In terms of digital IDs, there's two versions. That is a private and the public version. And the public version is much more private than the private version. As you know, I speak, talk, think much about the Chinese version of that. The single biggest digital ID in the history of mankind, of course, is being developed in China. Second biggest to that is only found in the United States of America in a public sector called the Social Security card. There are 350 million people living in the United States, arguably 200 million adults, 225 million adults, and we have a half a billion Social Security numbers. That right there throws a bit of a pallor on the integrity of the system. How can it be that many more Social Security numbers? Mine was assigned to me as a teenager. I still have. So, so the potential for fraud is extraordinary. Now, the good and the bad and the ugly. I'll keep this very brief. Every single significant improvement in technology and related and data has three sides. Has the obvious benefits, because that's what we trade on. We create it so we can monetize or we benefit from it as businesses or as governmental agencies. So there's benefits without a doubt. Without Social Security numbers, I think that our system here would disintegrate. There, with every single significant step like that, whether it's technological, whatever, there is that, the benefit. Then there is the potential for misuse, which is absolutely present. And then there's a potential for abuse. Anything that big is too juicy to ignore for the arguably 4% of the population that's always bent on nefarious conduct. Every single week or day, we hear about massive databases being hacked. I want to know, I sat next to a man on an airplane, a 17-hour awful flight, who is the CTO of a small supermarket chain in the Midwest in the United States. Mm-hmm. And his biggest issue, small, I mean, I think they have 7 stores.
Okay.
Medium-sized stores. It's not a Kroger's, you know. Right. It's not. His biggest issue is that 6 times a week, his consumer database is hacked.
Wow.
There are people out there who just want to know how often his consumers buy carrots, toilet paper, and milk. Now, why do I want to know how often you buy toilet paper? Well, 25 years ago, I was told I was going to get handcuffed when I was talking about location-based marketing, where I went to predecessor Kroger and I said, you track customer data. How about we go out and tell the customer, you're about to run out of milk or toilet paper. Please come in. You get a 10% discount. I was told that I was going to get handcuffed for location-based marketing, even at the local level. Unfortunately, I dropped it and then other people made billions. Again, I caution everyone who's hell-bent on digital IDs. I caution them against the potential for misuse and the tragic consequences of creating that as a live thing. The Chinese model of the digital ID is basically social scoring. There are, I don't know how many adults in China, increasingly more adults than not adults, given the birth rates that have tanked entirely. And certainly now that people are not forced to have only male children rather than female children, they elect to have none. That social score extends, and it's an amoeba. It just eats on itself. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. Mm-hmm. Where everything you as an individual do contributes to the social score. Right. Net is buying less milk. Oh, that's a positive one. Net just got a ticket for going too fast. Ooh, that's a negative one. Net bought a book. Net went home. Net did not go home. Net ran a red light. All of those contribute to social score. Mm-hmm. And then how does that filter down to the potential for genuine potential abuse, is that you can attain a social score that's so low where it's now deemed that you are no longer a contributing member of society. In fact, you're detrimental to society, and therefore you are superfluous. Let's not forget, and I'll move on to some benefits if you wish. Let's not forget that on a without the technical jargon, mumbo jumbo, without the gear, without AI, without big data, without blockchain, Mao killed 40 or 50 million Chinese because they were superfluous. Let's not forget that without all these wonderful digital assets and ability, and these computers that crank out quadrillions of bits of data in a nanosecond, Stalin killed 40 million Russians after the war. They were superfluous. Right. In fact, they're politically not expedient. So there's a potential there. The bank I do business with knows more about me than I know about me. And that said, that's why I, word to the wise, I do banking with this bank. We're not exactly complicated in context of what we do in our lives. Our lives are fairly simple, you know. Mm-hmm. The quote banker I work with, I worked with him for 35 years. Right. Every time he changes jobs, I go with him. All I want to do is I'm moving to another small bank. I like small. Okay, then all I do is look at the FDIC rating for the bank to make sure that they're not bankrupt. And yes, I do look at a financial statement, see balance of assets, liabilities, and all that. So I don't go to some place that's about to blow up. Mm-hmm. Same guy. He's number one assistant. He's been an assistant for 20 years. She will call me and ask, did you guys write a check too?
Right.
Okay. I don't know. I don't write the checks. The answer is yes. Well, it didn't look right to me.
Wow.
Because I look at your account every day. Yeah. Because she understands the potential for abuse. Now, mm-hmm. bottom line, I know that our gig all those years ago saved three or four of the biggest retailers in America a great deal of money. Because mm-hmm. we did identify a lot of great schemes where everything looked right. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that broke that camel's back is when the system kicked out a little thing. And it, based on that, this retailer was not going to deliver the $8,700 system right. to me. It was right. me. It was my credit card. Mm-hmm. At some address someplace else, and right. the picture of driver's license was presented with someplace else. Okay. I personally destroyed my login to the system because I didn't want to have the power to look into your financial life for the last 30 years without you knowing about it. I found mm-hmm. that morally repugnant. But do we have a choice? The train leave the station, the horses leave the barn. Can't put exactly. the toothpaste back in the bottle. We crossed that Rubicon a long time ago. All of that is real. Now, how do we protect ourselves, you, me, the public, against the clear opportunity for abuses? And when the Brits are pushing this on everyone, take it or leave it, or you're not going to be able to get on the tube.
I mean, look, Steve, the EU, it seems to me, has already implemented it, right? They just don't.
So have we. Social Security.
I mean, look. Well, where I live, right? I have a number. I have to log in. I have to log in using that. If you don't pay any bills, you can get taken to court. They can deduct money directly from your bank account.
That's absurd,
right? So it's already here in that respect in Croatia. In terms of the business opportunity. There's a big business opportunity for businesses because actually it helps win more customers because it's fast, easy sign-up process. And it actually protects your business from fraud and it can secure your reputation, apparently. But we don't know. We really don't know. Until we implement this properly, we don't know. I mean, it for me, being here, you know, going back to England, back in the old days, it's actually quite easy. It's actually much easier to do business. It's much easier to basically, you don't have to carry your passport with you. And well, saying that, I do because I'm a temporary resident. But if you have your passport with you to do things, you need that as well for certain things. But it just depends on if you have a proper full residency here, and in probably in most European countries it will be digital ID because you need it in order to log in to the back office, which has your car registration details, it has your this, your that, everything related to you is within that portal, right? Speeding fines, whatever else, right, is in the back there. So I don't know, Steve, what do you think? Are there any other benefits that I've missed?
The benefits on the surface are obvious. You know, I pay exactly one of our bills. Somebody else pays them all. It's my corporate credit card. Now, why do I pay it? It's because my controller insists I review the charges. So I have to log in and I have to review the charges. And while I'm there, I might as well hit the pay the bill now button, which I do. Now the login part, because it's habitually changed. The credentials are changed. If I don't do it, my controller does it. And I want to pay. How can I pay the bill? Change your password. Gotcha. Okay. And then, now we agree and move on. Without a doubt, next month she drops me a note saying, come on, Steve. I changed the password. Okay. Now, meanwhile, my browser asks me every time, should we record that? Mm. And I say yes. And every time I log in and it's there, just log in, I cringe. The only reason I don't get nuts, if you will, is because you want to break into my computer, I'm going to hire you because you all time. We know a lot of the great hackers of all time. Okay, I you want to end your career as a hacker? Hack us. Because we then send an instant message to the top four hackers in the world, anti-hackers in the world. They're all partners of ours. Remember, we have been at this since the 80s. I've been in the internet world since the 80s. I think we were the 9 people on the backbone. So you know what? A couple of my partners are, what are they doing today? Or testifying closed Senate committee meetings on internet fraud and security. It takes an act of God for me to actually talk to them. Now, it wasn't so long ago I made their payroll, but now it's kind of hard to talk to these Uber people. But back to the benefits. The potential for fraud has never been greater than it is now. Go right ahead to any one of the major bots out there, Copilots and ChatGPTs and Claude and all of that. Ask him how to defraud the bank. And keep asking. And you know, here's how you do it. Ultimately, I can write a book on how to rip off Chase Manhattan Bank for $200 million, and it's all AI generated. But the potential for fraud is so obvious. So the ID basically does create a filter. Okay, right. So you know who you're talking to, or you know better who you're talking to. That's an obvious benefit because you talk about fraud a great deal. You're an expert on internet fraud. It's very important. I used to rebel against my friends at Google.
Right.
Give me a break. I don't want to sign up. Okay, I want to buy this vitamin. Sign up. No, I just want to buy the Don vitamin. We're collecting data, but don't worry. Okay, eventually say it's easier. Okay, fine, click. Then I'm not asked that again, but I'm asked something else again. So everybody's aggregating everything about you creating your digital ID. Mm-hmm. It's just so much easier for you to sell me a car. Just click here. We already know everything about you. Oh, by the way, the credit check is about a 1 second deal, 2 second deal at the most from scratch. Hey, my name is Nathaniel Scola, my address, my ID card. Can I buy this car with a check? 1-2 seconds later. Yeah, great. Oh, by the way, we have in fact put a hold on that amount in that checking account. Say what? Some car dealer in Van Nuys, California is communicating with my bank and they put a hold on funds because that's the downside. But the upside is, to some extent, to great extent, businesses, companies are able to create some more security in their transactions. That's, again, we were at that 20 years ago. I repeat this with pride. I reached out to my partner and I said, I want you to invalidate my own password because it's very hard. It's for me, speaking of abuse, I meet a guy at sushi bar. How you doing? We get a long conversation. Very interesting exchange, bona fides. And then on the way home, hey, Google, access the database. Here's my password. Tell me about this guy. And then I said, I don't want to talk to him anymore because he has a cousin who's always delinquent on his home payment, mortgage payment. And Bob apparently has not bought or leased an automobile in 10 years. What does that mean? He lives in L.A. I promise you, he paid cash for a car. I don't want to have sushi with the guy anymore. But the simple idea that I can be so intrusive in someone's life as an individual, as a business, if you will, I feel great little ambivalence about that.
Yeah, well, we're going to dig more into this, Steve. It's been a joy as always, and I will speak to you soon. Thanks everyone for listening, and make sure you check out what we're doing at mondayinfluencer.com. Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Steve.